Let's pray together as we begin. Father, we thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the good news of Jesus coming to this world, living a perfect life, going to the cross and dying a slave's death voluntarily for us to pay the penalty for our sin, to satisfy the wrath of God. Dying on that cross and then rising from the dead and giving us opportunity to have our sins forgiven, new life, eternal life, through the sacrifice that's been made once and for all for us. Lord, help us today as we read the Word of God together, as we think about it, as we consider these things, as just give us understanding and help us to apply it to our lives. Give us insight for living to follow you in greater ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today I'll be reading Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 28. Hebrews 7, verses 11 through 28. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it, the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when there was a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who is made perfect forever. I think the theme of the verses that I just read are Jesus Christ, a better hope, by which we draw near to God. Have you ever felt lonely? I think COVID gave us special opportunities to feel lonely, didn't it? lots of people were lonely and are still lonely today because of that. But have you ever felt absolutely alone, separated, isolated, distant from people and from God, by yourself? Maybe surrounded by people, but unable to count a single friend among them. If you look at people after a while like trees, not people. You're separate, you're distant from those people. You know, God alone can solve that loneliness, that type of loneliness. God's desire is for lost men to come to him in salvation. And you know, that's the beginning of our relationship with God. It's a necessary part of a relationship with God. And his ultimate goal is for believers is that they will continue to draw nearer to him, draw nearer to God, as we trust him as Savior and as we walk with him. Drawing near to God is the very essence of Christianity. We draw near to God through a continuing, growing relationship with God, through the study, understanding, and obedience to God's word. I mean, this book is just vital in that process, isn't it? The Levitical priesthood system could never bring a man fully to God. It left people isolated, distant from God. It was a broken, worn-out system that didn't work. It never gave redemption and acceptance before God. There was always like this veil that separated men from God. The guilt was taken away, but the sin remained. But Jesus Christ, as our great high priest, opened a new way because he atoned for our sin. He paid the price. God set up a new order of priesthood according to the line of Melchizedek, like Jim read for us today. With a new priest, guess what? With a different address and a different ancestry. Jesus. And this new priest would also be a king so that we might draw near to God. So today let's look at five reasons God changed the order of the priesthood from the order of Aaron to the order of Melchizedek. And as we go through this passage, there will be five words, key words, that will indicate this, the topic for those verses. First reason, the Levitical priesthood and the Old Testament law were imperfect. Look at verses 11 through 14. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it, the law was given to the people, why was there still need of another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. In regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. The key word in this section is imperfect. Imperfect. The Levitical priesthood and the Old Testament law were incomplete, unfulfilled, and meant to be temporary from the very beginning. They didn't fulfill the purpose for which they were designed. They never achieved their goal. All the animal sacrifices did not give a worshiper a perfect standing before God. They only served as a schoolmaster leading us to Christ, to point the way to Jesus. Therefore, we need Christ. And a change to take place concerning the Levitical priesthood and the law. Because according to the law, priests had to come from the tribe of Levi. But as the text says, Christ was from the tribe of Judah and not the tribe of Levi. Today in Christ, we have been set free from the Old Testament law. Today in Christ, we are dead to the law. The Old Testament law has been fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. How many of you know Michael Rydelnik? He speaks on a Moody radio station. I would say he's pretty outspoken about his faith. What would you think? I think he's pretty outspoken. He's a great teacher. Well, Michael Rydelnik grew up as an obedient Jewish boy. He was raised to be an Orthodox Jew. Both of his parents survived the Holocaust. He was happy with his religion and trying to keep the Old Testament law. He was happy until his father divorced his mother when his mother accepted Christ as her Savior. Then, at 13, 14 years old, he became a very angry young man. Very angry. His mother and other born-again older women would meet with him and show him verses from the Old Testament. It would show him that Jesus is Messiah. Young man, you don't have to be angry. Jesus is the one. They showed him Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 and taught him that these passages are not about the nation of Israel, but about the Messiah. You know, Michael was an intelligent kid, and he liked to argue. He would argue, you know, from the Jewish background he had against the scriptures. But they stayed with him. As long as he kept arguing with them, they stayed with him. He kept showing him more and more of the Word of God. And, you know, they finally invited him to church. And, you know, he said, well, if you just get off my back, I'll go to church with you. But only one time. And then you've got to leave me alone. So this was a special church. It was a Messianic church in New York City. And, you know, at the end of the service, the pastor had showed how Jesus was the Messiah. At the end of the service, we know the process, don't we? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no peeking. Well, Michael was sitting in the back row, of course, and he said, you know, the invitation was given, and somehow I watched my arm go up. I said, I don't know how it happened. I tried to hold it down, but if my arm went up to receive Jesus as my Savior. And there was a lady in the front row, and she peeked. Everybody's supposed to have their eye closed, but she peeked. And she thought it might be her son or her son's friend who received Jesus. And she said, Michael! She screamed in joy and happiness. And suddenly everybody's eyes were open. And they surrounded Michael and invited him to their Bible studies. But Michael said, hey, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe that he died personally for my sins. But I'm not going to any of your Bible studies. I'm not going to become a fanatic. Michael Rydelnik, fanatic? I'm not going to become a fanatic. Now leave me alone. Born again? I don't know. Probably. But Michael needed yet to draw near to God. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, would get a hold of this young man's emotions and his understanding of the Scriptures and draw him near to God. So, first point was the Levitical priesthood and Old Testament law were imperfect. A key word, imperfect. Secondly, our new high priest has an indestructible life, according to verses 15 through verse 19. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect. and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. The key word in this section is another. I'll give extra credit for indestructible, but another is really the main idea in verses 15 through 19. Jesus is another kind of priest. It's kind of like, you know, I have an Equinox in a parking lot out here. And if I would buy another car, I would buy not another Equinox, but I'd buy a Buick. And so that's what it's talking about. It's a different kind. Jesus is a different kind. Just like I would buy a different kind of car, Jesus is a different kind of priest. He's a different kind, a different order. The Levitical priests could claim to be priests based upon who their parents were, according to their genes. But Jesus claimed this right because of who he is. Jesus was born of a virgin. Even in this passage, it says, when it talks about Jesus' birth in the Bible, it always talks about it in a strange way. It says, he appeared, or he came. I didn't just appear. I mean, I was born, but Jesus appeared and he came, which is different. His birth was different than our birth. And he was resurrected from the dead, and he serves as a priest forever, like Melchizedek, because the scriptures doesn't tell us that Melchizedek's priesthood ever ended. He died, but the scripture doesn't tell us that. Today we come to God through Christ, who is our perpetual and perfect high priest. He's another priest. The Old Testament law was weak, was useless, was imperfect, but today we have a better hope. You know, for those in the first century who were thinking about jumping ship, going AWOL and heading back to Judaism, this would have been a good reminder that what we have in Jesus Christ is much better than the old system. Stick with a priest, this another priest who has an indestructible life. Third point. Third reason why God changed the order of the priesthood from the order of Aaron to the order of Melchizedek is found in verses 20 and 22. It says, "And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever.' Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant." So our new priest, Jesus Christ, is the guarantee of a better covenant. And the key word here is guarantee. Guarantee. I like guarantees. You like guarantees? I like it. I like them a lot. God never swore to Aaron that his priesthood would be forever, that it would be permanent. But God swore a legal oath that Jesus would be a priest forever. His priesthood is eternal, unchangeable. This better priest guarantees a better covenant, a better agreement that brings us near to God. The old covenant was good. The new covenant is better. The old covenant served its purpose. It pointed out to people that they were sinners. Nobody could fulfill the Old Testament law. Only one, Jesus. The Old Covenant promoted godliness. It pointed forward to the Messiah. Until the coming of Jesus, the Old Testament covenant was exactly the covenant that Israel was supposed to have with God. But the new covenant is better. It provides for us eternal life. It deals with the guilt issue. It deals with the sin issue, both of them together. It allows us to draw near to God through Jesus Christ. Fourth reason. Our new priest, Jesus Christ, is our permanent, eternal Savior, according to verses 23 through 25. Now, there has been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. The key word here is eternal. The Old Testament priesthood was not only imperfect, but it was interrupted by death. There were many high priests in the Old Testament, but the Church of Jesus Christ has one high priest. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lives forever, is our high priest. We have an unchanging high priest and an unchanging priesthood. The same priest who died for us, the same priest that we received as Savior, the same priest now represents us. He intervenes for us at the throne of God in heaven. He got the job done on the cross, and his death saves us completely, perfectly, when we come to him by faith. And you know what? He never loses one of his sheep, ever, ever. The psalmist writes, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." All that in the presence of my enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ has defeated the enemy of our souls. We're able to gather at his table with perfect freedom and peace forever, forever, because he's that type of priest. He is our permanent, eternal high priest. And finally, the final reason is found in verses 26 through 28. Our new high priest, Jesus Christ, is a high priest who meets our need. He meets our need, according to verses 26 through 28. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who is made perfect, who has been made perfect forever. So our new high priest, Jesus Christ, is a high priest who meets our need. The old system was empty, impersonal. Christ is just what we need. He is Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. Just exactly suits us sinners, Jesus. He is just right for us, and it names five or six things about him that tells us why he is just right for us. He is just right for us because he is holy. He is without sin. He is just right for us because he is blameless, without accusations, harmless. He is just right for us because he is pure, undefiled, unstained. He is just right for us because he is set apart from sinners. He is different. He's not contaminated. He was with sinners, but he was not contaminated by the time he spent with them. He is just right for us because he is exalted, lifted up, praised. Because of those five things, he doesn't have to make sacrifices for himself like the other priests did every year. They had to go and make a sacrifice for their own sin. Jesus did that once. He is a perfect sacrifice and a perfect high priest. Does everybody know who John Davis was? He was a professor at Grace Seminary. Well, one time John Davis was in Israel, and he was an archaeologist, so he was doing all these diggings around, you know, looking for rocks and all kinds of stuff. They found this cave. It was the bottom of a wadi. That's like a valley, the bottom of a wadi. And he had explored it and found out, hey, there's not a snake in there, and it's not, you know, dangerous anyway, you know, danger that would be caused by earthquakes. And, you know, there was this little kid, little boy, who had been out there watching everything that they did. And so John saw him standing outside the cave, and he invited him to come inside the cave. And, you know, John showed him over and over again that there's nothing to be afraid of, kid. You know, there's no danger here at all. And even flexed his muscles. So look at those muscles, kid. I can protect you from anything that might come out of that cave. But the boy wouldn't come in. He said, "Mister, it's too dark in that cave, and it's too dangerous for me to come into that cave." Moments later, the boy's father stopped by. And again, John invited the boy's dad and him to come into the cave. And you know, the little boy took his father's hand and walked into the cave without blinking an eye. John asked the boy why he changed his mind. He answered, "My dad is here. I'm not afraid to enter that cave. My dad is just what I need. My dad is just what I need. Jesus is just what we need. He was designed that way. He's a perfect high priest. We can trust Jesus Christ. Why turn away from such a great high priest? What could we possibly find in another person or another system? This is the perfect high priest that we need for spiritual help. Whatever we face in life, he's the perfect help. He's perfect for our needs that we have. We need to draw near to God. Draw near to God. Spend our time drawing near to God for the rest of eternity. Have you ever felt lonely? Distant from people and from God? I'm here today to tell you that Jesus is the help that you need. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Have you said to Jesus, "I'm a sinner, Lord, and I need to be saved. What I did was wrong. Lord, forgive me. Come into my life and be Lord of my life. Take my life and use it whatever way, God, that you want me to. You want to use it." That's the way. Putting our faith alone in Jesus Christ is how we get to heaven. There's no other way. He's the perfect high priest. He paid the penalty perfectly for us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for giving us a wonderful high priest who opened the way for us by grace through faith and not by keeping the law, going to Jerusalem 3 or 4 times a year and making sacrifices, or just eating certain types of food, whatever. All those outside things never get us to God. But turning to Jesus is what gets us to God. Lord, help us not to walk away from that like these people were tempted to do, but help us to run to you, not away from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.